It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Orioles offseason began about a month ago as they went quietly into the mid-Baltimore week against Kansas City. Here to talk about all of that and more, let's welcome back to the show from USA Today. He's Gabe Lax. Gabe, good morning. What is going on?
Well, yeah, it's off-season ahoy, you know. It ended pretty abruptly. Looked like we might have extended this thing to six, but nope, it's all over. And wow, what a finish, certainly.
Look, we can dissect yesterday's game all we'd like, but the series itself, in five games, there was some controversy with the dopey fans, the Freeman walk-off in game one, and Aaron Boone getting questioned there. But in totality, Dodgers-Yankees, two number one seeds, forget about the markets and the historical value of the franchises, which we can't normally or necessarily do because they're two historic teams, but how will we judge the World Series in the end of the season itself?
That's a good question. The one thing that I find kind of interesting is, you know, it took 43 years to get this matchup. I'm definitely not usually the sky is falling. It's going to be a big market world forever and ever and ever. But I do kind of wonder how things are going to look like for the landscape of the league with just the whole regional television situation and wondering if the – you know, the haves and have-nots will be exacerbated just a little bit. You know, and not to say it's going to be Dodgers, Yankees every year, but you look at the Final Four with just Cleveland sneaking in there. New York, New York, L.A. Kind of interesting. How the power kind of is concentrated there. And the Dodgers. This is just a culmination of years of great smarts, great drafting and development, great working the margins of the roster. And then, the checkbook diplomacy that kind of started with Mookie Betts in 2020. Why not add 30 agreement? Hey, why not empty it all for Shohei Ohtani? Although, a couple of pieces readily available to other teams. Freeman, a really reasonable contract that's pretty heavily deferred. Hey, Oscar Hernandez could have been had by anybody. He 1 year, $23 million, and that also is heavily deferred. So, it takes money, but it also takes a good amount of smarts, and people are going to want to play there and take a shot at that thing. And even still, it took them about almost a dozen years, to win a full season championship doing everything the right way. So I think that kind of tells you how hard this thing is.
Now, Gabe, with Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge, the two stars, the two MVPs of their respective leagues, neither had a great World Series. I mean, a Judge, his bat was loud last night. How do legacies get defined, at least based on what we saw for five games between the two teams for those two particular players?
Yeah, I think one of the more overheated, often overblown storylines is, superstars in the playoffs and their so-called failings. I mean, those guys get pitched differently than everybody, and it's not a coincidence that Giancarlo Stanton turned around and had one of the best postseasons in Yankee history. Hit set a Yankee postseason home run record, hitting behind Aaron Judge because he did get on base a good bit in the early rounds. Finally got going a little bit, but it is true. The sample is so small, At the same time, Judge did press. He expanded the zone terribly, but he did turn it around. And you look at his at-bat at the end of Game 2 against Blake Treinen and his at-bat last night against Blake Treinen, total difference. Laid off those sweepers out of the zone and you know, belted a double down the line. So, you know, it's it ultimately comes down to winning a championship. You you don't get remembered if you had an incredible postseason and you came up short. So I think suddenly Ohtani's 50-50 gets even more validation just because it was backed up by a championship ultimately, irregardless of what he may or may not have done in the World Series. And he definitely looked at least a little bit compromised with that partly separated shoulder. So, yeah, but it's definitely an interesting series for those guys.
Now, in regards to Juan Soto, he's the big fish in the free agent pond here starting, I guess, today or within the next 5 days. He left the door open for all 30 teams. Gabe, you know better than anyone. That's not a reality. But if you had to narrow down the list of suitors, who would they be? And if there was a surprise, air quotes, team come out of nowhere to make a run, who would that be?
That's a really good question. And it's you know, it's interesting. The Blue Jays and the Giants, it's like they've been spending Confederate money the last few postseasons. You know, really were kind of taken for a ride by Ohtani's camp. You know, the Giants couldn't even convince Giancarlo Stanton to accept a trade there 7 years ago. And additionally, you know, they had a decent little dalliance with Aaron Judge, if nothing else, forced Hal Steinbrenner to spend $360 million to bring him back, you know. Well, those guys, I think they will be serious suitors because they're both pretty desperate to get a big star. But, you know, will Soto seriously consider them? I'm guessing, you know, and Soto's a really smart guy, and he's all in on Scott Boras' strategy. But I'm guessing that he was playing possum a little bit last night with the whole all 30 teams and anywhere I can win and this and that. I don't think he would mind returning to the Yankees, but he definitely wants top dollar, and he's not going to give a New York discount, so to speak, to have the pleasure of hitting in front of Aaron Judge. I'm sure he would love being able to win every year and having that incredible perch in that lineup, but it's definitely not going to come at a discount. So, you know, will Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman kind of, as they say these days, meet him where he is? That's a big question. And, yeah, it'll be interesting. Surprise teams, gosh. You can never count out the Phillies, even though they have all those commitments and all those clogged positions, you know, at the DH and corner outfield. Beyond that, very tricky. It's tough to ascertain who's that motivated these days and what people's TV situations are and how much that limits the market. So I think we're going to see, you know, kind of the usual suspects when it comes to these chases. And I think the Yankees will be in it. I don't know if they will have the stomach to you know, to get all the way to the end game with him and you know, get north of $500 million.
Gabe Lax, USA Today, talking some baseball here, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you on this Total Request Thursday. All right, Corbin Burns, top pitcher on the free agent market, by all accounts. Gabe loved it here in Baltimore. Scott Boras client. We know that last year Boras had a rough go of it, especially with a couple of his pitchers there. What's the intel you're getting, at least early on, from Corbin Burns, who's from Arizona, West Coast guy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, and an eyeball emoji tweet at the Dodgers championship. That's a little interesting there for sure. Yeah, no, it's such a paradox these days because, like, starting pitching is increasingly marginalized. At the same time, starting pitching is incredibly valued because what are we down to? 10 real horses out there in the major leagues? You know, it's incredible. You know, and you think, Garrett Cole, $324 million, whatever. But look at how good he pitched last night. Look at how he kept them in that game. And after that debacle of a fifth inning, you know, really just, you know, powered up and got them into the seventh, almost through the seventh. And, you know, good teams that want to win will continue to value that. And, it's going to be north of nine figures. So you can't imagine it's going to happen in Baltimore. At the same time, new owners are interesting beasts. You know, we haven't yet seen David Rubenstein lay his cards on the table when it comes to that kind of stuff. Although I think, you know, Oriole fans would probably settle for a nice nine-figure extension for one of their young superstars. You know, let's walk before we run, right? So that being said, you just never know. And as he says, he isn't getting any younger. But I would think, because there's so few of those guys, that it's going to get out of control. Not out of control, but you know, maybe closer to $200 million than $100 million for Burns. That would seem to be what the market would suggest based on past years. So, you know, we'll see what kind of stomach the O's have to try to rebuild that pitching staff that was pretty good for most of the year last year.
And I guess, Gabe, that leads to my next question. Last question for Gabe Lax, USA Today. Talking baseball, Orioles back-to-back playoff appearances, back-to-back 90-win seasons, have not won a playoff game in 10 years. So to take that next step, first half of the season, arguably the best team in the American League, if not all of baseball, below 500 second half. A lot of their stars did not perform up to star level. What do the Orioles have to do to maintain competitive balance with the Yankees and the rest of the American League and hopefully win a series?
I think just continue to be the, you know, be themselves, develop elite hitters, flood the zone with as many of them as you can. Especially if you're going to be, you know, something of a mid-market team and may need to replace some of these guys at this point. But I think for the near term, you have to shore up the starting pitching. You realize how far they got and also how precarious it was with Corbin Burns. Delete him from the 2014 and you know, how dicey does that get? So, you know, find a way to replace him probably in the aggregate, as they say. But, you know, I think, you know, O's fans are so frustrated with the two really grim playoff exits the last couple of years. That's the way it goes. Again, it took the Dodgers almost a dozen years with all their financial might to win a full season championship. So don't fret too much. You're going to go 2-and-out. You're going to go 3-and-out. But you really do have to stick to the plan and give yourself as many chances, you know, to win this thing as you can. And eventually you have a night like last night where the Dodgers, you know, assembled into the middle of the diamond at Yankee Stadium and celebrated the championship.
Gabe Lax, USA Today. Gabe, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy your week off, and we'll catch up with you throughout the course of the offseason here.
All right, you got it, Bob. Thank you.
There he is, Gabe Lax, everybody. It's Vinny at 88-1057 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Vinny's off. Dolan McGraw will come back, whip around, and then Vinny's going to join us with his film breakdown of the Denver Broncos. Are they a scary 5-3, or are they a fraudulent 5-3? They are 9.5-point under.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Vinny and Hades with
brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Good evening, 101.5.7 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. Get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday at 410-583-1057. Pick a song, we'll play it. You get the drill. If you're familiar with the show, Bob Haney with you. Vinny will be joining us few minutes. Film breakdown of the Denver Broncos coming in here. Winners of 5 of 6. Second place in the AFC West. 9.5-point dogs, however, against the Ravens. Last night in the NBA, the Wizards. Break up the Wizards. At least let them play Atlanta 17 times or something. But they played the Hawks last night, and a local kid did well.
Trey Young, deep three, front rims it. JP finding Bub. Bub, foul, count it, and one.
Monumental on the call. Hey, Bub. Bob Carrington. Baltimore zone, 16 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds, only 4 games in. I mean, the Wizards start the youngest lineup in the NBA, and at times they play like it, but Boy, they had the offense clicking on all cylinders last night. Bilal Coulibaly, who's what, 21 himself? He had 27 points, 133-120. The Wiz take out Atlanta. They will be at Miami, Washington on Saturday. It was Charlotte over Toronto last night, 138-133. Bruno Fernando got a rebound in his 3 minutes of work. Emmanuel quickly, however, not playing, dealing with a hip contusion. So he's been banged up for the better part of the summer into the early portions of the regular season. The Knicks, 116-107 over Miami. Haywood Highsmith, Archbishop Curley, Baltimore Zone, DNP. How about Karl Anthony Towns dropping 44 in the win for New York? Miami taking it on the chin there. Oh, by the way, Toronto getting back to them. Scotty Barnes, orbital fracture. He's going to be out for an extended period of time. One of the better players in the NBA. You don't know who he is, Google him. Chicago, 102-99 over Orlando. Sticks, Jalen Smith dealing with a knee. Sat that one out, but Chicago 3-2 on the year. It was Brooklyn, 119-106 over Memphis. Santi Aldama, Loyola Greyhound, that is. 2 points, 3 boards there. It was Oklahoma City over San Antonio, 105-93. Aaron Wiggins, University of Maryland Terp. 4 points, 3 boards, 3 assists. Terps open their season Monday, 7 o'clock against Manhattan. We'll talk about that with Walt Williams coming up here in about an hour. Stay tuned for that. AFC North. Raiders are at the Bengals coming up on Sunday. Cincinnati. Nolan, did you know they're 0-4 at home? Trying to avoid an 0-5 start?
I did, and I'm loving it.
They are favored by 7, though, but they lose tomorrow, or Sunday, rather. They're done. They might be done already, but live and frisky with Joe Burrow at quarterback, I guess. Chargers are at the Browns, if you missed this news yesterday, everybody. Jameis Winston was named as the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. He could have thrown 4 picks. Didn't. Threw none. Threw 3 touchdowns, including the game winner, with under a minute left. But the Browns, 2-6, they host L.A. The other Harbaugh, Jim. And the Chargers are 1.5-point favorites in that ballgame. College football, Maryland's off this week after getting drubbed by Minnesota last Saturday. They will be at Oregon, number one team in the country, at least for now, next weekend. Probably not an ideal matchup for the Terps. Let's put it this way. Oregon's at Michigan Saturday, and they're 14.5-point favorites over the defending national champions. I'm guessing the line against Maryland's going to be hefty. At least 20, probably way more than that. But the game of the weekend in college football, definitely in the Big Ten. Number 4, Ohio State. At number 3, Penn State. Ohio State's 3.5-point favorites. And we'll do our picks tomorrow, of course. But I'm feeling Penn State in this game. I know Drew Aller's a little bit banged up, but I'm feeling the Nittany Lions. I don't know why. It could be indigestion. Could be the 4-week expired Lucky Charms I ate for breakfast this morning. But I'm feeling something about Penn State.
More could change. And look, this year's game has nothing to do with the last 10 years, but should be noted that Penn State hasn't beat Ohio State since 2016.
Been that long?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there was 1 year where they beat Ohio State and Ohio State got in the playoffs and Penn State, I guess it was that year. Is that the Zeke Elliott team? Does that sound familiar there? I don't know.
Could have been. Ohio State was ranked number 2 at the time. Penn State was unranked. Beat them in Happy Valley.
Okay. Still feel Penn State, whatever it is. And this is a litmus test game for James Franklin. He can thump Maryland by 40 all he wants. Or Iowa, or Minnesota, or whomever. Got to beat Michigan, Ohio State. And this is a golden opportunity for Penn State to cement themselves as a playoff team, if not a team worthy of a number one ranking. It's the Whip Around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off today. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw with you. But this day in sports history, it's Halloween. Halloween. That means tomorrow's November 1st. That means my Christmas tree goes up in a month, Nolan. Yeah, it seemed like only yesterday. It was like 9 months before the Christmas tree, 6 months before the Christmas tree, a month before the Christmas tree. I'm already rearranging stuff in my basement to get, oh my God, make it stop. Well, how about this day 45 years ago, 1979, Mike Flanagan, Flanny, rest in peace. Cool guy, funny guy, great pitcher, especially this year. 23-9, 308 earned run average, helped get the Orioles to the World Series. Won the American League Cy Young Award on this date 45 years ago. Orioles had the Cy Young winner in 73, 75, 76. It was all Jim Palmer. Flanagan won in 79. Steve Stone won it in 80. And unless I'm forgetting something, and at this stage, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I don't think they've won one since. And they haven't had a 20-game winner since Mike Boddicker 40 years ago. Not even the great Mike Mussina won 20 games. Could have. The strike year of 94 definitely cost him 20. And then the overlay in 95 cost him 20. And then Benitez gave up a homer to cost him 20 in 96. But either way. And as we just talked about with Gabe Lax, marginalizing starting pitchers unless you have one. I mean, the Dodgers just won a World Series with basically bullpenning. I mean, Flaherty didn't make it out of the second inning last night. But they used to win Cy Youngs all the time. 20-game winners were the norm. Multiple Cy 20-game winners. That's how things have changed in the Orioles and in the landscape of Major League Baseball. We'll come back. Vinny's film breakdown of the Denver Broncos. Can they spring the upset? 9.5-point dogs at M&T Bank Stadium. And we'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. You want to get in, preview that Denver game. 2 second-place teams. Talk about the Orioles' needs, wants in the offseason. News from the Nest coming up at noon. We're going to hear from John Harbaugh and Kyle Hamilton talking about them dropped interceptions. What the hell's going on there out at Owings Mills?
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's film room on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time to break down some film and other things relating to the Ravens and Denver Broncos coming up at 1 o'clock. Sunday, M&T Bank Stadium, 2-5-3 teams, 2 second-place teams. Ravens trying to rebound from a disappointing loss at Cleveland. Denver's won 5 of their last 6 games. And let's talk about that with Vinny Serrato. Vinny, what's happening on this Total Request Thursday?
Not too much, Bob. Not too much. You know, just got my roster here for the Broncos, so I'm ready to roll.
All right, real quick, no Lamar practice yesterday. Harbaugh did say basically it's a rest day. He was on the injury report with a knee in the back. Any level of concern whatsoever, as we said, at 11:35?
No, zero. Because I want to say 2 weeks ago, didn't he sit out on Wednesday also? So no level of concern. Unless he misses Thursday and Friday, if I'm a betting man, he's probably back in practice today.
Now, I did get a caller and a couple of texters wondering why Eric DaCosta hasn't been more proactive getting defensive players. Of course, the trade deadline is Tuesday, November 4th. Deontay Johnson brought in, practiced yesterday. Well, they don't need him, et cetera, et cetera. I just basically said we can't complain until it's Wednesday at this time, and they didn't trade for defensive help. So I'm not panicking there. Any issues with Deontay Johnson coming in, and are we still waiting and seeing for the defensive acquisitions?
I think we're waiting for defensive acquisitions. You know, I mean, I think that with the Carolina one, they were ready to do the deal. And whoever Eric is dealing with, it might be, you know, it's kind of like in the draft, you know, when you're trying to move up or whatever. If our guy's not there, then, you know, we'll trade them or we'll trade the pick. But I think it's kind of the same thing. Some teams might be waiting to see how they do this weekend. If we lose, we'll definitely go. You know, so that could be some of the things that Eric's dealing with right now. But I am expecting Eric to get something done. I would be totally shocked if on Tuesday after 4 o'clock the Ravens didn't get a defensive player.
All right, Vinny, Broncos come in. They're 5-3. They're second place in the AFC West. They won 5 of their last 6 games. Let's break them down on film, beating Carolina last week.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, their last 2 games have been, you know, at New Orleans with a beat-up New Orleans team on that Thursday night, and then playing Carolina with no receivers and You know, and Carolina was pretty competitive. I mean, in the second half, Carolina outscored them 14-7. So it was okay. But let me just look at the Denver offense. I think Courtland Sutton's a heck of a player, and I think he's the key guy you got to stop. I'm not as worried about any of the others. Bo Nix likes to throw it to Courtland Sutton. He has the most targets by far on their team, and he'll hold the ball to try to get it to Sutton. So Sutton is a legit player. Their tight ends, Krull and Troutman, I mean, they're okay. They're nothing special. They'll dump it to them underneath. They like to get rid of the ball quick, Bob, and they like to run bootlegs and get him on the move and get him outside the pocket. He runs better than you think. He had 61 yards rushing against the Chargers. So he can get a first down and scramble around. He's got good feet in the pocket, and he's very smart and aware in the pocket. He was in college for 6 years. So he's been around the block. You just got to get pressure on him. Got to get him, you know, if you have him sit in the pocket, it's not a bad thing. Now, the offensive line, I think they do a better job in pass protection and stuff than they do run. They don't knock people off the ball in a run game. So that may be helpful for the Ravens since they're going to be missing a few of their defensive linemen. But, you know, Ben Powers is there. He's their left guard, old Raven.
Yep.
But they're just not a physical, knock-you-off-the-ball athletic group. You know, I mean, Bowles has been there forever, the left tackle, Garrett Bowles. You know, I mean, he's okay. He's not very strong at the point of attack. And Javonte Williams, I mean, he's a nice back, but, I mean, nothing great. So, you know, are they going to move the ball? I mean, if you take away Courtland Sutton, you're taking away a lot of their offense. And if you make them one-dimensional and they can't run the ball, then it's going to be really difficult for them. And I think that's the big thing that the Ravens are going to have to do. Can they do that? I think they definitely can. But, I mean, you know, when you're talking about the Ravens' defense, you know, we're talking about who knows who it's going to be. You know, who knows who's showing up. So that's the thing. You know they're going to try to run the football. They almost throw it as much as they run it. So they're going to try to run the ball, and that's why the Ravens got to be physical up front. Am I worried about them? I'm not that worried about them. When I watched the film, you know, like when I watched Cleveland, I said, "Yeah, they're better than I think they are, you know, better than I thought they were, you know, when I was watching the film." And I was nervous about it. That's why I didn't have the Ravens picking, you know, a big score. I feel better about this one because I think the Ravens, you know, when we look at their defense, I think they're going to be able to run the ball. Carolina ran it right at them, right at them. I mean, they're big. DJ Jones, number 93, their nose tackle, he's a big guy, and he can get off blocks a little bit, but people have just blocked them, and it's a good matchup for Falele and them because it's a big, massive guy, and you know, he's not super quick. So, I mean, that's a good matchup for Falele, you know, and Lindebaum doubling and comboing up to the linebackers. I'm not that crazy about Cody Barton, their inside linebacker. I think their linebackers are kind of light. And then, Bob, they got good pass rushers. They got athletic dudes there. They're all 240 pounds. And when I see 240, you know, my running back is bigger than them. I mean, they're fast, they're athletic, and they can get off the ball. If you get in third and long a lot, they're going to take off. But because of that, you know, and they're second in the league in sacks, and because of that with, you know, Baron Browning and Benito has, I think, a sack in the last three games, and then Jonathan Cooper also. You know, they're all fast little guys that can rush the passer. So you run it at them, and you use that to your advantage. Screens are good. Quarterback, they have not done a good job against athletic quarterbacks. They have not. So that's going to be advantage Ravens big time. So the threat of that could slow them down tremendously, rushing the passer, which would give Lamar time to throw. Now, their secondary, Sutton's an outstanding player. The other corners, 20, Surtain is 2, 21, Riley Moss. I think they can work him. They can work the other guys, you know, I think pretty well and throw it on them. But, you know, getting time, I think – Todd will create it. I think play-action pass will be good, Bob, because I think they're going to be able to run north-south. You got to run north-south on these guys because they got speed on the outside. And the linebackers, I think the inside backers, they're not as good as Cleveland's. Their defense, in my opinion, is not as good as Cleveland's defense. I thought Cleveland, other than Surtain, you know, I thought Cleveland's defense was very fast, very explosive, you know, and attack. And I'm guessing that because Cleveland had success, the Ravens are going to try to see a lot of the similar things, but they don't have the same people. And that's why I think the Ravens are going to be able to run the ball. And one of my keys, Bob, that you've got is rush the ball for 200 yards. I think they can. You know, I think they can pound them.
Your pick real quick. We'll do them tomorrow, but tease a little bit. You seem very confident that Baltimore is going to get back in the win column here.
I do. Because when you look at who these guys have played, I mean, Bob, they played the Chargers 3 weeks ago at Denver. I think it was 3 weeks ago. Yeah. And the Chargers beat them, you know, in Denver, and they controlled the clock like 35 minutes at 22. Dobbins had almost 100 yards rushing. And the quarterbacks over the last three, even last week, you know, Bryce Young, he threw for like 225 and two touchdowns, but he had two picks. One was a deflection, you know, so people have thrown it on them. So I think the Ravens are going to be okay. I feel good about this game for the Ravens. I like the matchup for them, you know, especially if the Ravens come out, which I think they will. They'll be embarrassed, you know, after last week. I think they'll come out, play real physical, play fast, and play aggressive.
Vinny Serrato, see you on Monday. Have a safe trip, man.
Thanks, Bob.
There's Vinny Serrato. His keys to victory. He likes the Ravens. Well, it's a film breakdown of Denver, which leads to keys that could benefit Baltimore. We'll get to that tomorrow. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Got news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Buy or sell. Where's the late week money? Copley counting that at 12:15. And the Wizard, Walt Williams, he'll be joining us. Talk about Maryland starting their season on Monday. And talk about the NBA, which is a week plus in. Talking about the Ravens and Broncos. That matchup coming up here on Sunday, 1 o'clock. Let's get out to the phones before we bring in Nolan McGraw. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan. Vinny's off today. Just heard his film breakdown of Denver. Seems rather confident. In Baltimore, World Series ended last night. Dodgers in five, down five, and knock out the Yankees. So congratulations to them. Let's go to Randallstown. It's Wanda. Wanda, thanks for holding. What is up?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. I was calling to send a message to you. And first, I want to say I thank you so much for cutting him off the last time he called him and he started trashing Lamar. But with this loss with the Yankees last night, I just want to let you know that I hope this proves to you what we've known all along, that you don't know what you're talking about when you call in Baltimore onto Baltimore station trying to disparage our team. Why don't you just call New York stations or somebody else? Because we don't want to hear it. We've said this many times. Many people have told you that. But hopefully this proves to you that you just don't know what you're talking about. You're seeing things through blue-colored glasses or green-colored glasses. And, you know, just talk bad about that drug addict of a quarterback that you got in Aaron Rodgers. But I just wanted to send that message to you, Q. We don't want to hear from you anymore. Thank you. Thanks, Bob, for letting me get that off my chest.
All right, Wanda, she's coming in hot. Little George Foreman uppercut to Joe Frazier's dome. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Hey, look. Wonder if there's going to be calls to New York stations talking about how Aaron Judge sucks in big games and he's only a regular season performer. And it works multiple different ways. I look at it that way.
Right. Well, he did have the home run last night.
Yeah.
Had the place rocking.
Sure.
So, I mean, gets kind of
dropped that fly
ball.
Oh,
yeah. No, I mean, he's probably not off the hook. I'm sure the fan base is always rational there. I mean, look how they're celebrating the two buffoons that got kicked out of the game the other night.
Correct.
Treating them like they're, you know, national heroes or something.
It's insane. Should have been tased and tackled by security instead of doing the interviews with national networks. But it is what it is. Yankees lose. Orioles still chasing them, though. And that's all that matters. They were in the World Series. The Orioles haven't been in the World Series in over 40 years. So, you know, my math still works to some level. But it's the constant bashing of Lamar Jackson just gets stale. I mean, when you're the fan of one of the worst football teams over the last 40, 50 years with little pockets of success, you can't pop off about one of the most successful teams. That's all I'm saying.
Right. And remember, what, 2 years ago at this point, or maybe less than that, when all the Lamar contract drama was going on, we heard from Q and we heard from other, heard from people in the Ravens fan base that flat out said, no, we don't, go ahead, don't want him. The move on, find a new quarterback.
Yeah.
Looking a little foolish in hindsight. Goes
a lot
on
of
to
propaganda was coming out of that nonsense, yeah, if memory serves.
It was a wild time. Yes. It was a wild time. We don't have to go back to that.
No.
But had there been a magical scenario where, say, the Jets were a team that put in an offer when the Ravens placed the non-exclusive tag on him and Lamar winds up in a Jets uniform and pulls off MVP-level stuff, who would we hear from every single week?
99.9% of Jets fans would take Lamar Jackson in a heartbeat as their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
We'll win some regular season. Yeah, worry. Aaron Rodgers has been an unmitigated disaster for them with the negative publicity, the lack of wins. I mean, he's coming off a year in Green Bay where he wasn't all that great. He had won the back-to-back MVPs, but they tanked in the playoffs. And I was an Aaron Rodgers fan. He's just kind of gone off the rails a little bit here. Maybe that ayahuasca is just kind of frying his brain a little bit. Who knows?
I don't know. I mean, the whole mix of him one day saying, oh, I don't like the attention. I don't. The media narratives are too much. It drives me crazy. That's all outside noise. We don't pay attention to it. Who's doing the weekly hits on McAfee?
Exactly.
Who's got the book coming out? Who's got the Netflix or Amazon documentary coming out next year? It's all him. He loves the attention. Just that's fine. If you like the attention, that's fine. Just don't lie to us.
Yeah. Well, the Jets suck in the rate. Well, they're coming off a sucky loss. Let's put it that way. I don't think anyone can deny what happened in Cleveland last week. But let's see. Today's 31st of October. Then we got there's 30 in November. December 31st, the Ravens probably already clinched their playoff spot, where the Jets are probably figuring out who their full-time coach is going to be and what they're going to do at quarterback in the offseason. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Any fun house time, or you want to just hit the old break, get ready for news from the Nets?
We're up against it.
All right, news from the Nets coming up next. Buy or sell, then the Wizard Walt Williams talks about Maryland season starting on Monday, coming off a debacle of a 23-24, and talk about the start of the NBA campaign, and a member of the Maryland family passed away earlier this week, and we'll talk to Walt about that as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.